When life gets hard and we go through painful times, Mark Job reminds us we've got to look beyond our circumstances and seek God's bigger picture.
God's timing is not your timing. God has a bigger narrative at stake. That's not God's ultimate objective, to take discomfort out of your life or to eliminate drama. In fact, if you dive into the gospel, you will realize that sometimes the pathway to our transformation and His glory is the pathway of pain.
Welcome to Bold Steps, featuring the teaching of Mark Job, president of Moody Bible Institute and also senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, we're under 2 weeks away from Resurrection Sunday, where churches will be filled with many people who typically aren't there the rest of the year. But whether you are a regular churchgoer or a stranger to the pew, there's one question almost all of us have asked when we're going through a hard time. Where is Jesus? Or where was Jesus when I needed Him the most? Mark, that's the subject you're tackling today. It's a powerful one.
It really is, Wayne, and maybe a listener is listening to this program right now and you're asking yourself that question. Jesus, where are you in the middle of my struggle? I believe that this story in John chapter 11, where a family member experiences this illness and then death of a loved one and is really asking, where were you, Jesus, can answer a lot of those questions for all of us.
Well, let's get started with this powerful message. Where is Jesus?
As a pastor here in the city of Chicago, I fully realize that Chicago, coming from a largely European descent, has a lot of Catholic influence. And what I've discovered is that the Italian immigrants, the Irish immigrants, the Lithuanian immigrants, the Polish immigrants, the Mexican immigrants, the Central and South American immigrants, and I could go on and on and on, they look at this season as a season where they start with Ash Wednesday and make their way all the way up to the Resurrection Sunday. And so, as a pastor here in the Chicago for many years, this has become one of the greatest evangelistic seasons in the year for us. Because there's a lot of people that don't go to church, that have some sort of Christian affiliation. That means if they were to check a box, they would call themselves Christians, but they don't read their Bible, they don't go to church, they have very little to do with Christianity, but they feel like, I probably should do something around Easter connected to Christianity. And since they don't go to church anywhere, they're very open. And so I want you to pray for Chicago specifically, because it's one of the greatest outreaches, I believe, around our city. And we typically, where I'm ministering, see literally sometimes hundreds of people come to Jesus during this time. And so one of the questions that people ask over and over, and I've had my arm around people as they weep or having an angry conversation with someone, they say, where was Jesus? Where was Jesus? I prayed. I called out. And I'm not sure that Jesus was there. I'm not sure that He was hearing me. Where was Jesus when I needed Him the most? So I want to turn your attention to John chapter 11. There's a moment in the story where a woman named Mary falls at the feet of Jesus, and with great emotion, she says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell at His feet and said, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. By the way, just three verses later is the shortest verse of the Bible. Jesus wept. You know, this is repeated by both sisters, by Martha and Mary. Lord, if you had been here. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that, both from a evangelistic angle as people ask you about suffering in the world and where was God, and from a personal angle, because maybe some of you have been asking that question, and maybe you're asking that question right now, where is Jesus? So you know the story, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, her brother, were very close to Jesus. This was the place where Jesus felt like he could crash, hang out. The Bible goes to length to talk about this was a family that Jesus really loved. He was close to. It was his family away from family. In fact, it's interesting because John, the author of this gospel, is known as the disciple that Jesus loved. And he's not shy about sharing the fact that Jesus loved Lazarus, the one that Jesus loved as well. Very close. And it tells us in John chapter 11, verse 1, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, that was a few miles away from Jerusalem, the village that Mary and her sister Martha were from. Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord, wiped his feet with her hair. Do you remember that story? So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, listen, the one who you love is sick. They didn't even say the name. Jesus already knew, hey, the guy that you really love, you're close to, our brother Lazarus, he's sick. This is not a little sniffle cold. This is not just a bellyache. This is a sickness that required immediate attention. This is a sickness leading to death. He is very, very, very ill. So there's a crisis in the family of some people that Jesus is very close to. He really loves. And the Bible says, when Jesus heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. And then it reiterates again, John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is giving us an insight into the heart of Jesus. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So you think the story is going to continue because Jesus loved them so much that Jesus immediately would hear, oh no, the one that I love is sick. Okay, drop everything. Let's catch a Jerusalem Uber and make it there as quickly as we can because someone that I love is in crisis and they need my presence. So let me get there very, very quickly. Interestingly enough, that's not the response of Jesus. In fact, there's this strange, awkward, weird response that leaves us a little bit puzzled, scratching our head a bit. What's going on here, Jesus? Notice, when Jesus heard this, he said that it would not end up in death because Jesus doesn't live just in the present. He knows all about the past. He knows the present, but he's also the master of the future. So his timetable, what he sees is different than what you and I see. We see the immediate crisis, but he sees beyond the crisis. Verse 6, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. What? And then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. Now, what his disciples weren't aware of right away is that Jesus deliberately let the crisis get worse. Jesus deliberately let it go from bad to worse to really uncontrollably bad. He waited until it got worse. He deliberately let the suffering and the pain escalate. Imagine Mary and Martha. We don't have a glimpse into what they were doing at the time, but I envision Mary and Martha at the bed of Lazarus, and they're checking his temperature, and the doctor's around shaking his head. No, this is getting worse. And I'm sure that Mary is looking at Martha and saying, have you seen him? Any word from Jesus? Any word? Hey, go out and look. Maybe he's just down the road a little bit. Can you look a little bit? We really need Jesus here. As Lazarus deteriorates in his condition, starts gasping for breath, and then finally his heart stops beating, his brainwaves stop functioning, and now he's dead. And there is this deep, hollow sorrow, and I'm sure a very, very disappointed in their faith. Where was Jesus when we needed him? You know the story of Lazarus, so it's hard to eliminate the final chapter. It's hard to not picture, because we know what it ends up like, but they didn't know where it was going to end. They just knew in the minute that we called on Jesus and he wasn't there. That we asked him to be here and he didn't show up. So I want to make sure that you're clear about this. And there's a couple of things I want you to remember in the short time that we have. There's a couple of truths that I want you to remember when it's hard to see Jesus. Number one, I want you to write this down. Delayed intervention does not mean he's missed the moment. Delayed intervention. Just because you've called upon God and you say, I don't see where Jesus is at. In fact, it's getting worse. It's declining. My health, the condition of a sibling, whatever it may be. It's not getting any better. It's declining. Never make a connection or assume that just because there's a delayed intervention that God somehow has missed the moment or somehow is absent or somehow is not involved, because God's timing is not your timing. God has a bigger narrative at stake. Can I say it? The narrative is not to relieve you from pain. That's not God's ultimate objective, to take discomfort out of your life or to eliminate drama or to have you not experience any pain. In fact, if you dive into the gospel, you will realize that sometimes the pathway to our transformation and his glory is the pathway of pain.
We'll continue that first point in a minute. You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Job, and this is Bold Steps. Let me remind you that you can find all of these daily lessons along with other faith-building tools and resources by going to our website, boldstepsradio.org. In fact, one of our most popular resources, Mark, is your weekly email devotional, the Bold Stepper Weekly.
That's right, Wayne. And this is our way of just reaching out to you every Monday morning, just reminding you God is on the throne. So there'll be devotional thoughts, but also updates. For example, we talked about the renovation of our men's dorm, 175,000 square feet.
It's the tallest building on campus, isn't it?
It is. It's a huge project on campus. There's helicopters dropping down equipment. This is our entire men's dorm. I spent 3 years in this dorm.
Did you?
From the age of 17 to 20. In room 1502 of Culbertson Hall.
I hear lots of guys waxing eloquent about their time in Colby.
And so this is a massive project, one of the biggest projects we've done in decades on the campus of Moody Bible Institute. So keep us in prayer. There's cranes in construction on the campus of Moody, but this resets us for decades to come. And so you'll hear some updates like those, some projects and ministry projects that we're involved in.
Well, it's fun to keep up with you, your ministry, and the ministry of Moody Bible Institute through the Bold Stepper Weekly, and you can sign up at boldstepsradio.org. It's free, there's no obligation, and you'll receive it automatically. You can also read it on our website, but why don't you get it in your email box every Monday morning? All right, thank you, Mark. Let's go back to your message now. Where is Jesus?
Now, we've been taught sometimes by very misconstrued versions of the gospel and Americanized versions of Christianity that it's God's will that you be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. And that sells. It sells when your God is there to make life easy, good, healthy, wealthy, and prosperous, and that all sickness can be rebuked away, and all financial trouble is really not your issue, and that God's goal in life is to make your life successful, happy, healthy, and well. And people love that gospel, and people buy into that gospel, and people sow seeds into that gospel, and people, many people that preach that gospel are wealthy and oftentimes living in luxurious lives because that is a gospel. That's the American dream success. But let me tell you, that is not the gospel found in Scripture. Not that God doesn't love you. Not that God doesn't want to bless you. Not that God isn't involved in your life. Not that God's desire is not for you to do well. But that is not God's ultimate goal. In fact, sometimes God's will is that your pain would increase. Sometimes, in the center of God's will, your circumstances will get worse. Your pain will grow. Your difficulty will escalate. And if you buy into a certain version of the gospel, you'll say, well, my faith is not enough. Maybe I have to have greater faith. Mary and Martha, if they had been exposed to a certain version of the gospel, would have said, someone would have been telling you, you know, if only you had named it more, claimed it more, believed it more, stated it more, your faith is not strong enough. No, God had heard them. Jesus was fully aware. He was involved. He was engaged. He wasn't absent. It was his will, his divine will, to let it get worse. Why? Because his narrative is bigger. His narrative is not just to eliminate pain in your life. In fact, sometimes pain is the greatest teacher in our lives. Sometimes pain is the only way that we learn. Sometimes pain and escalation down is the only way that we will see the glory of God. Can I remind you that you and I would never know the story of Lazarus if Jesus would have immediately healed him as he was going down? It wouldn't have been in the Gospels. Some people wonder why it's only in one of the Gospels when it's arguably one of the greatest miracles that Jesus did. Some commentators believe that because it brought so much attention to Jesus, the resurrection of Lazarus, that some of the other gospels were reluctant to name him because he was still alive when some of this was written and he could have been martyred or for his safety. But this is arguably after Jesus intervened finally, it was a walking billboard to the glory of God. But in the middle of it, it was getting worse. So I want you to remember that. And can I just read Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 9? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And because of time, I can't get heavy into this passage, but the disciples, Jesus basically said, hey, I know the end of this story. He turns to his disciples at one moment and he says, Lazarus is sleeping. I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. And Jesus had been speaking of his death. Jesus was very much aware that he was waiting for it to get critical and worse before he intervened. It was part of his will. And then he says, Jesus had been speaking about his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. Verse 14, so then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. What? Yeah, for your sake, I didn't intervene. There's other parts in Scripture where Jesus doesn't even have to be present, where he says, be healed, and then they ran, and he was healed. Jesus could have healed however he wanted to, but for your sake, I let this get worse, in essence, is what he's saying, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Secondly, as we look at verse 17, I want to remind you that personal setback does not mean that God is not involved.
You're listening to Bold Steps, the Bible teaching of Mark Job. Today's message is titled, Where is Jesus? And part two is coming up on tomorrow's program, so be sure to join us then. In the meantime, we encourage you to visit our website and catch up on any previous lesson you might have missed on the radio. You'll always find us online at boldstepsradio.org. Now, Mark, you've got a little something else to share with our listeners today. Why don't we go ahead and reveal our surprise guest?
Yeah, Wayne, it's good to have in the studio again with us, Dr. Bill Thrasher. He's been teaching here on the Moody Bible Institute for years.
Longtime friend.
Spiritual formation, topics of prayer. So beloved here on campus. And I mentioned this before, but my wife's favorite professor. In fact, she had the privilege, actually, of writing, her and I, a foreword in this book, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life, which was an honor. But, you know, most people have a routine of how to pray their quiet time if they've been believers for a while. But, Bill, you've highlighted a powerful but painful truth that not all prayer times are created equal.
Well, you know, in my own pilgrimage, and that story is about my pilgrimage, that I hope others can benefit from. I was saved at a Billy Graham crusade when I was 13 years of age. He came to the local football stadium in Montgomery, Alabama. He was there by presidential order, saying, look, your gospel is the only thing that can do anything for that racial crisis there.
Wow.
And he preached, and praise God he did. I was a part of the denominational church, but I didn't understand the gospel. I did that night. I read the Bible each day after that, didn't significantly grow, joined the Air Force Reserve right out of high school, just 6 months active duty, and then went to Auburn University. Pledged, not really knowing there was, I pledged my brother's social fraternity, and this was a state university, but in God's great providence, I wandered into the room of a fraternity brother one day, very unusual one, didn't even ask a question, and he shared with me that little booklet that crew used at that particular time, Have You Made the Wonderful Discovery of the Spirit-Filled Life? Mm-hmm. I hung on every word. The great thing is I'll end up rooming with him for a year. That dear brother is still in the Lord's work to this day. But we had our prayer meeting in our room every night. Mm-hmm. I went on to seminary. God called me into the ministry, even though I majored in business, and went to seminary. I had a prayer meeting in my seminary room every night. God mercifully opened the door to come to Moody, and I developed that discipline of prayer. But there was one day, you know, the longer you're around the Christian life, people say, pray for this, pray for this, pray for this. I literally tried to pray for it all. And and one day, my thought was to God, I said, God, I think the greatest gift you can give me is just take this burden off my back. Because what I realized is this, I'm praying, but I'm not sure I'm really expecting anything to happen. Mm-hmm. And if you're praying, you're not expecting anything to happen, sooner or later you ask yourself the question, why I pray?
Yeah.
You know, here's what, if you'd asked me to summarize what people teach about prayer, I said, well, two things come out strong, and I bought into both of them. One is prayer is very, very, very important. Secondly, you need to discipline yourself to do it. I'd done both, and my prayer life had died. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I needed to learn something else. Our founder, D.L. Moody, unquestionably the greatest preacher of his day, said, I'd rather teach one person to pray than 10 people to preach.
Yeah.
You know, come to God, Luke 11:1, teach me to pray. And Jesus spoke when his disciples said that, and God will speak to our listeners today, just in his great mercy he did to me.
Hmm.
Wonderful.
Wow, powerful. I love that. I've heard that quote of D.L. Moody before. So, hey, listener, maybe you've been convicted recently about just wanting to go deeper in your prayer life. We would love to put this book in your hand, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life by Dr. Bill Thrasher.
And we'll send you a copy when you give a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps. So give us a call. Our phone number is 1-800-DL-MOODY. That's 1-800-356-6639. Or go online to give a gift of support and request the book when you visit boldstepsradio.org. If it's easier, you can write to us and send your gift and ask for the book. Write to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. That's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. One final reminder, if you haven't already, go and subscribe to our podcast channel and get each of these daily messages downloaded automatically to your phone or mobile device. Whether you prefer Apple, Spotify, or any other podcast app, you'll find us by searching for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. Like our page and leave us a comment to let us know you're listening, and then why don't you share some of your favorite messages with friends and family? I'm Wayne Shepherd reminding you to come back tomorrow for the final half of today's message titled, Where is Jesus? That's coming up Friday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.